All right, let me call your attention now to 1 Timothy chapter 3. If you found that, why don't you stand? We'll read together God's Word. I'm dropping you into a description. 1 Timothy chapter 3 gives the two offices of the church. There are two. The elder pastor, that's one office. Elder and pastor is interchangeable. And the office of deacon. Today we're going to set aside one of our own here at Hickory Grove to ordain him into the deacon ministry. And today we're going to take this passage and use it as a resource to tell us what does it mean, why are we doing this, and how does this promote the gospel. What I'm hoping is that you hear from the traits found in 1 Timothy 3, things that are aspirational. That is to say, regardless of whether or not you're ever going to be a deacon, you see those as gospel traits that will point to Christ. So I hope that's what comes through today. Let's go to the passage and then get on with the sermon. 1 Timothy chapter 3, we'll start in verse 8. Grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's begin in verse 8. Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. Let them also be tested first, then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Join me as we pray. Father, we need your help today. We need your Spirit to speak to us, to minister to our hearts. Holy Spirit, I pray that by the words of the gospel, you would bring encouragement to those that are dealing with depression. Lord, I pray that you would bring an awakening to those that are in sin, that we might see the grace that you give us at the cross of Jesus. So, Lord, would you, by your Spirit, speak the words of grace into the hearts of people here today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. By and large, the world has forgotten what real servant leadership looks like. And part of the redeeming call of the church is not only to point people to Jesus Christ, that is what we do, but we got to be a group of people that raises up servant leaders. Men and women that stand out front, and you know they're leaders, not by their stature, but how they serve the church. People that love Christ, have been saved by Christ, and then want to live like Christ. Mentioned earlier in the introduction, we have two offices here at Hickory Grove in the New Testament church. One is the pastor, one is the deacon. In the office of deacon that we will focus on today, that office is as old as the church. And today we have the high honor of setting aside one of our own and ordaining him. This is a congregational matter. Ordaining him to the office of deacon. The men that ordained into the office of deacon have already shown what it means to serve God, what it means to serve the gospel, and to do that in the context of this local church. You think, what does a deacon do? Well, I'll give you a couple of thoughts on that. The office of deacon is as old as the church, and it was born out of a need. So if we have deacons here in Hickory Grove, we have a total of 85 deacons. Those deacons at Hickory Grove are here to solve problems, not create problems. If you're a deacon here today, wake up just enough for to hear this. You solve problems, right? That's what a deacon does, not create problems. What happened in the book of Acts, as the church grew, there were needs that the apostles couldn't address. They needed help making sure that the day-to-day needs were met in the church so that the preachers could spend their time going into the Word of God and then preaching it. There were demands that threatened the gospel message. Now, it's important that we see this, and if you're a guest, it's good for you to hear it here at Hickory Grove. The central purpose of any church should be the gospel of Jesus. The central purpose of Hickory Grove is the gospel of Jesus. And if there's anything that detracts from that, we've got to make sure that that is taken care of so that the gospel keeps its integrity. Now, when I say the gospel of Jesus, I mean it's the message of God as a holy creator. You, men and women, we are His image bearers, although sinful. That sinfulness makes us in need of a Savior. The Savior is Jesus, who is fully God and fully man. He was born of a virgin. He lived perfectly on this earth. He died on a cross in the place of sinners. And when you believe that, here's what happens. You believe that Jesus died for you. Your sins are taken and you are given His righteousness. You're given the ability to repent of your sin, to turn away from that which had you enslaved, and you are made right before God. That's the gospel message. And the gospel message must keep its integrity. And in one of the ways that the gospel message keeps its integrity is through deacons. Because the truth of the matter is, and we see it all around, even in our own town, when a gathering calls itself a church but doesn't keep the gospel central, it actually no longer operates as a church. It becomes a club. And we don't want to do that. And one of the ways we prevent that from ever happening is having people in the church that take care of things so that the gospel can be central. That's what a deacon does. So let's talk about the word deacon. The word itself, deacon, it comes from the Greek word diakonos. It means to serve. The basic meaning of the word deacon is to serve. That word shows up about 100 times, a little more, in the New Testament. But only here in 1 Timothy and also in the book of Philippians, two times in the New Testament, is it translated as the word noun. First time we see the word is where we get the idea of a deacon. It's in Acts chapter 5 and 6, where the church is growing and there's infighting and deacons show up. And the word is translated the first time as waiting on tables, doing humble work. That word grew in the New Testament. It took on all kind of meanings: to administrate, to care for, to minister to. The word even means to prepare. We'll see it again in Romans chapter 13. When Paul talks about soldiers, they are serving. It's the word deacon. Even for police officers that are holding up justice service. But for our purposes here, this morning, as we've gathered to worship, we look at how deacons serve the church and what Paul, the apostle, wrote to Timothy, the pastor, about gospel deacons. In fact, we'll say it like this. A gospel church has gospel servants. Gospel church has gospel servants. Let's go to the passage and let's just look at the traits of a deacon in the text. Now remember, I said this is aspirational. Here's what I mean by that. So you say this is a deacon sermon that doesn't apply to me. I think you can take every one of these traits and look at them as a Christian and see I need to aspire to that. Here's what I mean. Here's the first one. I'll give you the first word. It's the word serious. 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 I think you ought to take it seriously. I'm sure where I get that. You'll see in verse 8, notice what the text says. Deacons must be dignified. Now, when we hear the word dignified, we think typically in our American context, dignified carries some sort of aloof feel to it, and it shouldn't. Because that word dignified translates the word serious. Serious about Christ, serious about the gospel, serious about the church. When a deacon is dignified, what happens is he starts to feel the weight of the ministry of the church. He's not serving God's church lightly, that there's actual serious business that goes on a Sunday morning when people gather. Understanding that there is something that makes sure that life and death hang in the balance, that heaven and hell hang in the balance. That you think about it. What I'm hoping is not just deacons, but you, members of Hickory Grove, that you take it serious. I don't stop thinking about the church very much. I have a couple of hours on Saturday that I'll wake up and we'll spend some time with Connie up till about lunchtime. Then after lunch, I go into my office and my stomach tenses up. I feel the anxiety of what's coming. Spend a few hours going over, and then Saturday evenings we'll have a really good supper. I like scrambled eggs and bacon and grits every Saturday. If you got game day coming, you need to tank up for game day, right? So we'll eat, and then I go to bed around 8:30. I don't sleep well on Saturday nights. I get up around 4 on Sunday morning because you feel it. What I want is men and women that sort of, I'm not expecting you to do that. I'm just saying you feel the seriousness. Knowing that there's a whole lot riding on that people living in this world go to hell without Christ, and part of our obligation is to point them to Jesus. Knowing that, honestly, your character reflects this church and the gospel. Serious. Serious. There's another word you might want to write down, another characteristic of a Christian, but especially a deacon. It's the word honest. This is what you can expect out of your deacons: honesty. See that little phrase in verse 8? It's a poetic and even picturesque phrase, not double-tongued. You see that? I mean, isn't it picturesque? It's the idea your mouth is so big, you got two tongues in your mouth. And one of them is saying one thing and one of them is saying the other. It's the only time you ever see this expression in the entire New Testament. But all of us here have known people like that, who will tell us one thing and might tell somebody else a completely different thing. And the point behind this is your gospel message is only as strong as your integrity. See, being honest, gospel honesty, means being able to speak the truth, but it doesn't mean you're angry about it. It's being able to speak the truth, but doing it in love. Understanding and humility, but humility doesn't keep us from actually pointing out truth. That your statement of faith actually matches your manner of life. Honesty. One of the things we need out of our deacons, what we need out of our elders, pastors, what we need out of our people at Hickory Grove is just gospel honesty. Let me give you a third word from the text. It's the word disciplined. Discipline. Let me show you where I get that. You'll see it in the phrase talking about drinking. See what the text says? Verse 8, not addicted to much wine. Discipline. You see, we live in a world of excess and of hedonism. And living in a world of excess and hedonism, we stand as gospel sentries, as soldiers, right? Standing different against the world. Being a person that's able to have self-denial and live with the self-denial, to have a real example. Now, here at Hickory Grove, we go another step, not just, hey, make sure that if you are drinking, you don't get drunk. To be a deacon at Hickory Grove, what you're saying is, I don't drink at all. And here's the reason why. Because the Bible speaks of not being drunk and not necessarily not consuming. I think because there's so much writing on it, why would you risk being thought poorly of? So part of what we ask is you taking another step beyond being disciplined, living as an example, knowing that as a gospel man or woman, that you are not ruled by any passion except that which drives you to Christ. In fact, the Bible says it like this. A gospel man is not drunk with wine, but he is filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to be able to, honestly, I want to be able to talk to our young men that are coming up, 13, 14, 15 years old, and be able to point out, we got 85 deacons, be able to point out to our young men, hey, look, if you'll be like that, you live like that, you'll honor the Lord. I want to be able to point to our deacons and do that. Look, I want to be able to talk to, we have young girls growing into young women that love Christ, are growing strong in the Lord. Hickory Grove is seeing this extraordinary sort of, we have all of these young women that are strong in the faith and know the Bible and love God and are looking for husbands, and we've got this, I don't know, this desert. Can y'all handle what I'm telling you here? This desert, right? I need some men. Guys, you start tighten it up. Read your Bible and get a haircut or something. And I can maybe, not a haircut, I'm just kidding about that. So that we can, I want to be able to say to our young Christian women that need, be able to say, you find a man, don't settle, a man like, I want to be able to point our deacons and say, you find a man like that. Discipline, right? A whole lot riding on that. This church needs men and women that care most about Christ, that are disciplined. That you wouldn't let any habit, no desire, get in the way of the forward movement of the gospel. Discipline. Let me give you a fourth word. It's the word generous. Generous. Notice what the text says in verse 8. Paul says, if you're going to have a man that's a deacon, he needs to not be greedy for dishonest gain. Not be greedy for dishonest gain. Generous. This carries with it the idea of being content with what God has provided for you, and then faithfully recognizing God's provision. And that faithful recognition of God's provision leads you to be radically generous with what you have. Anybody that is nominated to be a deacon here, part of the examination, we do have personal interviews. Part of the examination is not just attendance at church, but are you faithfully giving to the work of God at Hickory Grove? One of the fundamental ways you display and show your faithfulness is just giving. Why? Because you work 40 and 50 and 60 hours a week. That's most of your life. And when you give, you actually are giving an extension of that week of living. You're saying, Lord, this is yours. To be radically generous instead of worrying about money, holding people tightly and holding things loosely. Now, let me press on that a little further. When I say being radically generous, I mean you being willing to be wronged or shortchanged or even broke if it means that Jesus Christ is honored and exalted in your life. Generous. There's another word I think that's aspirational. You find it in verse 9. It's the word theological. Theological. Let me show you where I get that. It goes like this. They must hold the mystery. It's in verse 9. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. You know what this means? This means that you are captivated by the gospel, that your love for Christ never diminishes, that it drives you to be a man that is in the Word, that when we talk about reading the Bible through, you're doing that, that you're memorizing Scripture, that it is becoming part of who you are, that you are being consumed more and more by the Bible, that when your mind wonders about things, you go and research it. You can walk over to the Resource Center and see the biggest theology book, get it, and learn some things. If we're going to say we love Jesus, why would you not want to learn more about Jesus? We want to know the gospel inside and out. Got 85 deacons, and each one should be able to rightly articulate, without stopping, rightly articulate the gospel, to know it, to love it, to believe it, to want to share it, to be able to speak clearly and forthrightly and really about a Jesus that has personally saved them and a desire to see others come to Christ. I mean, that's Stephen, right? In Acts chapter 6, when you see Stephen, one of the first deacons, able to speak about Christ and this confidence in the goodness of God, even as he was killed. To point people to Jesus, knowing that he is the only one that will save people through the power of God and at the cross of Christ. Theological. I want us to not just say we love the Bible, I want us to actually know it. I want us to be men and women that inhale God's word and exhale prayers. Theological. I'll give you another word, a sixth word. It's one forgotten in our society. It should be brought back. It's the word honorable. Honorable. To give honor. Let me show you what I mean. It's right there in verse 10. The Bible says, let them also be tested. We've done that. Then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless or honorable. Or yours might say it like this. This is where we get the phrase to live beyond reproach. In other words, living beyond reproach is I live my life so that I can't be blamed for anything. But not just that, I'm going to go one step further. I'm going to live in such a way that if you hear something bad about me, if a rumor starts about one of our deacons that they have done something terrible, it ought to be such that their character is so strong that our first reaction is to say, there's no way that's true. I know that guy. And he would never blatantly, purposely dishonor God like that. Don't we want to be that kind of people? To have a reputation of being so gospel saturated that if some rumor were to pop up about you, that we would have to have proof. Because honestly, you might be the first and only representation of the gospel that people ever see. Honorable. Let me just introduce one more. You probably can get others out of here. Let me just give you one more before we go into our ordination. And that's the word genuine. Genuine. When I say genuine, I mean the same person at church that you are at home. Genuine. That it's not a surprise for people that love you, that if they're with you at church, that you act one way, and at home you're somebody different. I mean, how terrible would it be? You know, Connie has heard every sermon I've ever preached, and she's always very kind about the sermons, so I'm thankful for that. She's heard every sermon I've ever preached. How would it be if when I get home, I'm a completely different person? What does that do to her? What does that do to her faith? What does it do to her confidence in me? Now, let me press that into you, that as deacons, and really as any Christian couple, we should be genuine. I mean, the wife is addressed here in verse 11. There should be this consistent, strong woman. Right? You see her in verse 11? Notice what the text says in verse 11. Wives, likewise, need to be dignified, not slanderers, sober-minded, faithful in all things. How important it is here at Hickory Grove to have a strong woman that loves Christ as much as her husband does and lives the gospel. And then, as husbands and wives, the text says in verse 12, I think this has been misused. Verse 12, Paul says to Timothy, make sure he is the husband of one wife. I don't think this primarily means, well, it needs to only have been married one time. We can quibble about that and talk about it if you'd like. I think there's a deeper meaning. I mean, honestly, if you're stubborn, you can stay married to somebody. If your house is big enough, you can stay married. Anybody can do it. I mean, you don't need the gospel to do that. You can do that just out of spite. It takes the gospel to do something else in marriage. A marriage that reflects the gospel looks like this in Ephesians 5, right? Ephesians 5, go memorize it. The husband is to love the wife as Christ does the church, and he's constantly giving himself up for her. That's what the text literally says. He gives himself up, regardless of his feelings, regardless of what he wants, gives himself up. And then the wife, as she's being honored, she turns and then submits herself humbly to her husband. And then that home becomes this picture of the gospel. That's what a deacon's, not just a deacon, that's what a Christian home is to look like. And a little further, you'll see there's this idea of being able to sort of pastor your own home if you're a man. Verse 12 says that you are to manage your children. Managing your children and your own household well. I would think of it like this. As a deacon, or really just as any man here, you should think of yourself as the pastor of a small church. That church is meeting in your home. The parishioners there happen to be your wife, maybe your children. And as the acting pastor there, your job is to make sure you are pointing her and pointing those children to Christ. And so you're doing everything you can possibly do to point the people of that little small church to Jesus. I mean, because ultimately, isn't that what this is all about? The perfect life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. It's about the gospel. Today we have the great honor of ordaining one of our own men to deacon gospel ministry. So I'm going to ask you to join me as we pray, and then I'll call David up here. As I pray, I'm going to ask him to set the chair out here on the stage before I call David and Mary. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the chance to point to the gospel. We pray that you're honored. We pray for our church. Lord, I pray that you would see just a picture. Show us a picture. May our minds be on how good it is to serve the gospel. Help us now today. In Jesus' name, amen.